Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.
Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live. Thanks for joining us today. When I say us, I'm talking about me and Dr. Henry Cloud. And we're going to talk a little bit about being loved. Is it hard for you to be loved? We'll talk about that.
Hi, Steve Arterburn here. Welcome to a special edition of New Life Live. This is Classic Friday, and all of our calls have already been taken and answered many, many months or years ago. We brought back some of the best. So welcome to New Life Live on Classic Friday.
I listen to your program whenever I get a chance, and I thought maybe you could help me today.
About 4 years ago, I found out that my husband was dealing with some transgender issues.
I would say to him, we've been over this a million times. You know it's hurtful to me and your daughter when you bring it up, and you won't stop. So I'm going to walk out of the room every time you start talking about it.
Who ate my chips?
How many times do I have to forgive him?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud, and your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. Hey, Henry.
Hey, Stevie.
You're looking awfully relaxed today and a little dressed up, too, you know.
Well,
you're looking good.
My jeans are dirty. That's about the only reason.
You look great. Hey, Henry, we are having some fun here. I finally got the title of my talk.
Well, you know, I noticed the emails floating around. They're saying, when is Steve going to get his title done?
Yeah, it's done. Face to face with Jesus, all I ever needed to know, I learned from Zacchaeus. Earth-shattering stuff, I'm telling you.
What grade were you in when you learned that?
Third.
I think. Wasn't there like a Zacchaeus song?
Sure.
Zacchaeus was a wee little man.
Anyway, he's...
Zacchaeus is a great example. Huh?
Just give you one thing that I learned from Zacchaeus. Don't worry about what other people think. Because Jesus didn't.
Yeah.
Everybody was upset. Jesus didn't care.
And don't ever think, because you're not in some religious in-crowd, that you're not in the Jesus crowd.
Ooh, that's true. And no matter how far up a tree you get, he can find you right there.
You can even go to church in a tree.
You can. Except we don't encourage, you know, where people say, I go out and my God is in the trees, and that's where I worship. I don't go to church. We're not saying that. Henry,
you've got to be in a tree that holds a lot of people.
Why do people have a hard time being loved? No, I know that. But why is it that it's hard that they're with some people, they are fully, totally loved, but they just have a hard time accepting it, being with it, understanding it? You just think they would just welcome it right in, but they reject it.
Well, yeah, we would think that. It would make logical sense. But, I mean, if you go all the way back to the initial problem back in the Garden of Eden, there was God, who we know is a God of perfect love. And what did we do? We made fig leaves, you know, or little outfits of fig leaves, and covered our most vulnerable selves. Mm. And it's just in the human nature. And what happens is love really, really kind of, what would be the word, overcomes human nature. In a way, mm-hmm. in that sense, we have what psychologists call a need-fear dilemma. And that is, we need love, but we fear it. And the needier we are, the more we fear. So the more we fear it, the more we move away. Mm. The more we move away, the more we need it, so the more we fear it. So it gets bigger and bigger. And the people that need it the most, who are the most empty, are going to be the most fearful. And there's just a lot of defenses. And there's a lot of bad experiences. Mm. And people have had abuse and they've had trauma. And so, you know, taking that first step of allowing love to melt us, and that's really what it has mm-hmm. to do, allowing ourselves to, you know, be melted by it mm. is very, very risky. But you must do it. You must do it. You must do it. Mm. You must do it. It's the only way out of jail.
Allow yourself to be melted by love. Well, what a great thing. And, you know, if you're struggling with love, look at the neediness there. I think that's the message from Henry today. All right, we'll take a break and come back with your calls at 1-800-229-3000.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back. Is there something or someone that continues to exert power over your life? Power that overwhelms your best intentions, sabotages your greatest efforts, and frustrates your deepest desires? No formula, set of keys, or steps will help you until you're able to take your life back. The Take Your Life Back workshop is coming to Dallas March 10th through the 12th. Steve Arterburn will teach you how to take charge of your past and your current circumstances so you can look forward with confidence and faith to the road ahead.
On those days when we experience a setback or feel like a failure, we keep moving forward. And when we fall down, we get back up. If we get back up one more time than we fall down, we are doing all that God has asked us to do.
It's time to take your life back. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Take your life back. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To make a tax-deductible gift or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back, Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud and your phone calls. Let's go right to the phones and let's go to, let's go to AJ, calling us from Des Moines, Iowa, listens to KWKY. Hi, AJ. Welcome to New Life.
I can't believe this. I'm really on. I have been listening to you people for a couple of years. I don't miss the program. I'm addicted to your program. And I'm recommending your books to people all of the time. And, you know, I have this problem that's really been bothering me. I'll be very quick about it. I have an adult daughter. Just got married a couple of years ago. But she continues to blame her mother for when she gets angry or something, it's always my fault.
How old is she?
She's 37. 37.
And she blames you for current day things?
Yeah, uh-huh. For example, I called her yesterday and she said, oh, it's a good thing you didn't call me Saturday because I was really mad at you. Because I was acting just like you. I was really mad at you. I mean, I have suggested counseling to her before. I wish that you had, you know, a program where she lives, but it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have listened to her vent on me. I have begged her forgiveness for whatever she thinks I've done, and I've never defended myself. But, you know, I'm concerned about her. I'm concerned about mm-hmm. her marriage. Mm-hmm. Because
how's her marriage going?
Well, it's going okay. They're just newly married. But
how long did you say?
A couple, 2 years, almost 2 years, yeah.
Okay.
Almost 2 years. So, and there is a small stepchild in the marriage, a little girl, 7 years old. And, you know, I know she gets very frustrated at times, but anyway, I don't know. You know, as I said, I have accepted, you know, everything she says. I always stayed in my room, and I didn't give her and her dad time and all this, so, hey. You know, I'm a bad mother, but...
So, what do we do now, AJ?
Yeah, what do we do now?
What's your question?
Well, my question is, what can I do after I have accepted the blame?
Well, what does she say when you go to her and say, you know what, I understand all your feelings, and I'm really sorry, and will you forgive me, and let's see if we can do better from here forward?
Well, I guess maybe I should just do that all the time then.
No, I wouldn't do that all the time.
No, I've done it. I've done it.
Yeah, and what I'm asking you is what happens when you do that?
Well, you know what? I don't know what happens. I can't even think now. I guess I'm just so dumbfounded that she's angry that I just more or less don't say anything except I'm so sorry.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Well, why don't you do this?
Okay.
Why don't you tell her that you'd like to get together with her and talk? Okay, and tell her you understand that she is mad at you for her growing up years,
uh-huh.
and that you are really sorry for whatever you did or might have done or whatever to hurt her. Would she please forgive you because you would like to go on and have a better relationship now, and let's get past all that.
Okay.
And then ask her, say, what is it going to take for us to be able to move forward and leave the past behind?
Okay, good one.
And then if she is unwilling to do that, and if she says, well, you know, I need to talk it out, say, okay, why don't we give it a time period? And let's put a date on it.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good.
And let's work it out by a certain date, and at that point let's move forward. And you know, the point being in all this that you want to process, but it doesn't have to go on forever.
Yeah.
And at some point you say, you know what, I want to know that we're done and I want us to be able to move forward.
What if she gave her the mom factor and said, here's a book for daughters who've had imperfect moms like me?
Yeah, because, AJ, what the book talks about is that it is the adult child's responsibility to, you know, acknowledge things that were wrong, heal from things that are wrong, but get over it and have the best relationship that you can have today.
Oh, that's great. What's the name of that book?
It's called The Mom Factor.
I'll send it to you.
You will?
Yeah, and you know what else? We'll send you Boundaries Face to Face, because this is a difficult conversation, so this will be for you.
Yeah, and there's actually a section in Boundaries Face to Face on how to talk to your adult children about things like this.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome, AJ. I hope that'll be helpful to you, and God bless you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And I'm not defending AJ here, because I have no idea what went on or what didn't go on. But if you're, you know, if you're 37 years old and you're still stuck, and I don't mean still working through injuries, because sometimes injuries take a long time to work through. But if you're still stuck in a blamey position about childhood, you've let a couple of decades of your life go by, and you're out of control. Steve, I remember I read a transcript of a therapy training thing one time. And it was a supervisor's transcripts of things that patients had said to supervisees.
Mm-hmm.
And then they recorded the good responses that therapists said back to them. And one of the best I've ever heard was the therapist says this. He goes, okay, now what you're telling me is that you're not going to be happy until your mother treats you differently when you were 5 years old.
That's good. I like that.
Because that's just a prison.
Yeah.
And forgiveness and grief are the keys out of that jail.
Mm.
Get over it. And you know that we're all for acknowledging pain.
Sure.
Working through pain and healing. But I guess what I'm saying is you got to get over the blame.
Yeah.
Unforgiveness.
When a 37-year-old says to mom, I'm glad you didn't call me on Saturday because I was really mad at you.
Yeah. You're lucky, Mom. You know, I think that she's probably the lucky one that doesn't realize it.
So. That's right. All right. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you'd like a copy of The Mom Factor. Our Boundaries Face to Face. Let's talk to Thomas, who's calling from Arlington, Virginia. He listens to WAVA. Hey, Thomas, how you doing?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're okay.
I want to thank you for your show. It's just amazing that God allows something like this to be on the, you know, to give everyone access to, especially in this day.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Thomas.
I have a question, and I know it's a result of my past sin. I've looked at pornography for a long time. I don't anymore. As of a few months ago, got married, and my wife never knew about it. And she found out about it early in our marriage,
mm-hmm.
which is a good thing, because I think that's ultimately what that's the accountability I needed, not to look at it anymore. And I think my problem is I don't feel really any drive, any like sexual drive. I think I feel so, I guess, guilty, and I felt guilty when I was looking at it.
How long ago were you using porn?
Oh, probably 4 months ago.
So you're just married?
I got married about a year ago.
Okay.
So it did go into the marriage?
It did go into the marriage.
Okay.
And it stopped once that came out, and it needed to come out beforehand, but I was just...
Oh, I see. I thought you said that you had stopped, and then she found out.
No, she found out during, and it's stopped since. It's been about 3-4 months ago.
Okay, and what have you done since then?
Well, I've not looked at it anymore, and I've read you know, the book, Bouncing Your Eyes. I've taken all the, you know, I bounce my eyes, and we're open with it now. And I think that's the thing that we, you know, what's keeping me from. I mean, I'm scared to death to look at it. I mean, I know that, you know, because she knows. God shows her. I think she knows when I do. And
but since you don't have a sex drive, you realize that you're missing something. That just not doing it isn't the full treatment.
Right. She's gorgeous. I'm so attracted to her. I just, you know, it's usually the guy usually wants to have sex, and the female's like, no. But it's the opposite in this case, and it's not fair to her. And I think it might be a result of my sin, that I've abused what God has ordained to be
well,
sacred.
I don't think so. I don't think that's exactly what's going on. I think it's related. See, probably what happens is the dynamics of you know, that lead to porn use are the dynamics that also that lead to the shutdown of your sex drive.
Mm-hmm.
For her, because see, porn use is a non-relationship,
mm-hmm.
and so what happens is your sex drive gets kind of, you know, connected to sex objects, not sex with a person.
Right.
Because sex with the person brings in relationship issues,
mm-hmm.
and so what happens is the sex drive gets repressed where there's relationship because of conflicts, and that's more probably what's happening. Thomas, it's just not true that when you come to God and come to the light for forgiveness, that leads to, you know, anything but healing. So,
mm-hmm.
so your past, you know, porn use, God is cleansing that. He's forgiving mm-hmm. that. Now you've got to get at the relationship dynamics of why you're afraid of connection mm-hmm. and intimacy and power and things like that.
You know, mm-hmm. I've talked about this before, but some of the researchers talk about men who marry beautiful women, but they bring the porn problem into the marriage. And it turns out that no matter how beautiful she is, she's just bad porn. In other words, they've become so used to pornography that it's not what they're used to. And it comes with some stuff that, just like you're saying, Henry, the person comes with relational things.
Right.
And that's not what pornography is about at all. It's about
right.
power, control, and all
when
that.
When has pornography ever criticized
right.
somebody?
Right.
Yeah, you never.
That just doesn't happen.
It don't talk back. So you've got
right.
all of those things.
I heard it was on Paul Harvey this morning. Mm. I heard Paul Harvey this morning in his little news things. He was talking about this guy that called a 900 sex line, like at
mm-hmm.
you know, $4 a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And he's having this conversation, this pornographic conversation on this sex line, and, you know, everything's going, quote, fine. And then he realizes, you know who he's talking to and getting turned on by? You know who the operator is? His
Who's
wife.
That? Oh, my
His
goodness.
His wife. Is working for a porn line, and he doesn't know it. Now, look at this. As long as she's anonymous,
mm-hmm.
the very person he's not turned on by is turning
right.
him on.
Hmm. Right.
But well, see, once the real relationship is out there, then the dynamics get in there of what you're afraid of.
So what we're saying is that there's some healing that needs to go on in your soul so that
right.
you can take in another person and be attracted totally to them.
Right.
And then the sex drive comes back.
And some healing that probably needs to happen between the two of you.
Yeah.
Is she kind of the more moral, structured one?
We both are. I think we both are. I think we both have the same, and we see eye to eye on everything. I think it's just as disgusting as she does, and we're both very, you know, on the same page.
How about in your relationship?
Definitely. We both are.
Who's more the policeman in the relationship?
I'd say it's a mutual. We're kind of different than other couples. I'd say we're pretty mutual in that we both, you know, we both discuss every little thing, and you know, in the relationship, and we make sure that it, you know, lines with Scripture. We make sure that we're doing what's right.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say it's pretty mutual.
So you're as critical of her as she is of you.
Right. And we don't really criticize each other a lot. I mean,
what do you think the disconnect from her is about then?
I just feel like I don't have, I mean, I definitely feel like we're connected. I mean, I love, you know, we cuddle and play, and I think that the relationship is strong, but as far as, like, you know, when it comes to getting physical, like as far as sex, I don't have any feelings either way. It's kind of like, okay, yeah,
but,
I guess.
But you do for other women.
No, I don't, because I haven't been looking at it, and I just...
No, I don't mean that, but I mean...
There's stimulation.
Yeah. If you're walking down the street and see a beautiful woman, do you kind of know that you're alive?
Nope, and it's got to be on a screen, which I don't look at anymore.
Okay,
to be on a screen.
Then Thomas, if across the board you don't have a sex drive, what you need to do is go to a doctor.
Well, I do have a sex drive, but I have to kind of make myself want to do it. I mean, I can engage, and I can go ahead and have sex, and it's not
all
that.
Right. Hold on, got to go to a break.
Hold on.
We'll be right back. You are listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I would just kind of be paralyzed sometimes. I would just stay home. I would kind of sit in a chair and just kind of write or maybe talk to my wife a little bit, but I just wasn't living a fulfilled life. I'm a recovering addict, and so I'm always looking for a quick fix. What Christian counseling has done for me is made me realize it's the journey that's the important thing.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
You don't want to shortchange yourself. Counselors are so good at helping you to see patterns in your life that you've never seen before.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
Thomas, you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
All right. I was just saying that the research shows that this is kind of a classic case of where, you know, pornography. Hugh Hefner said, if you guys would look at this stuff and think my way, you'd be more sexual beings. And in reality, what it does, it kind of neuters a man and takes away the ability to perform.
Right. And you know, sometimes I think during sexual activity, sometimes it's a struggle in my mind. I'll have to pull up images from the past to keep being stimulated, or it'll go away. It'll fade. I know it's not medical. I'm completely healthy in that sense.
Well, but let me just make sure that, Thomas, because what you said was you don't have a normal sex drive kind of across the board, or you just don't have it with your wife?
I feel like it's a guilt thing. I feel like it's mental. It's not across the board. I feel like I'm very healthy otherwise. It's a mental struggle.
Just try to answer this question. Do you feel like you have a sex drive with other women? You're attracted to them. You have libido, et cetera,
right.
et cetera. I'm not saying that you're acting it out. And then just for your wife, you've desexualized her in your head.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's okay. What I'm saying.
Well, that fits in with the porn picture.
Right.
Okay. And again, what this is about is a lot of time that men who have not kind of integrated their sexuality into love and into relationship, it goes to a sex object instead of a love object. So I'm sure you love your wife, but mm-hmm. the problem is that love and sex are split for you.
Right.
And that's what you've got to get together. And I don't know any way to get that together other than to sit down, like James 5:16 says, when you start to confess your faults to one another so that you may be healed. What happens is when you start to really, like, if you got into a small group with a bunch of men, mm-hmm. like Steve says to do in all the every man's battle stuff, and you begin mm-hmm. to bring your sexuality into the light in the context of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is all the different parts of you, you begin to talk about in the context mm-hmm. of sex. And you begin to talk about your power conflicts and your dependencies and your needs for approval and sensitivity to criticism and your sexual experiences growing up and everything. And what happens is your soul is no longer compartmentalized into a bunch of little rooms
mm-hmm.
and there's a sex room.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only room that sex is in.
Mm-hmm.
See, now your sexuality is more like, it'd be sort of like a spider web that goes throughout your whole soul, which is mm-hmm. the way it's designed to be. So mm-hmm. you would look at your wife, for example, and you would look at one of her character attributes and be turned on.
Right.
As well as you would by her body, as well as you
right.
would by her personality. Et cetera, et cetera. Because sexuality is supposed to be an integrated thing, not a compartmentalized thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, what we're saying is do what the rest of Every Man's Battle says and get in a group.
Mm-hmm.
And start to figure out what's going on. And then the two of you need to sit down and take an inventory of your relationship. Where do you feel like you're seeking her approval?
Okay.
Because that dynamic is a sex killer.
Henry, there's one other dynamic you've talked about before, and that is that when a guy is kind of having some sexuality problems, he kind of turns to woman to fix it versus getting in the company of other men.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And like looking at pornography is kind of like going to a woman to become a healthy male, and that's not going to...
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. because as you said it, Thomas, you know, the woman in the pornography, she's sort of like a, you know, medication to you.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, we would just encourage you to do all these steps, and don't think that you've somehow irreparably damaged yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on here?
Okay.
Even in the images coming to mind, my initial thought about that is when you're with her and you're having images come to mind, then that is probably you're pulling those images up as a defense against seeing her and being with her.
Mm-hmm.
It's a defense mechanism.
Okay.
And you got to find out why you're afraid to be naked and unashamed, like the Bible says.
Mm.
Okay. Wow.
Well, I hope that's helpful to you, Thomas.
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
So,
I appreciate it.
A couple of things. One is we sure are hoping that you'll get involved with some other men. But
mm-hmm.
you've got this new marriage, less than a year, about a year old. It'd be great if you went to that one of the workshops for Every Man's Battle and let that be the beginning, because all of these issues are what they talk about there, and how men can become men and how you can truly get beyond the guilt of the past and understand what the source of the problem is and no longer see women as objects. All of that is part of the Every Man's Battle workshop. And I'm going to tell you about that. If you'll hold on, I'm going to tell you about that, and then I'm going to send you the new book, Every Man's Challenge, and hope that that will be a blessing to you. Anybody else interested in any of the Every Man's books, Every Man, God's Man, Every Man's Battle, and Every Woman's Battle? If you're a woman struggling in these areas, you can find those, all of Henry and John's books, the Boundaries books, and God Will Make a Way. It's all there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or the website, newlife.com, and you can find our free tip, 7 Steps to Loving and Being Loved, at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Also, our resource, Moments for Singles, it's a New Life meditation. It's a devotional from our series by Lee McElroy at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll take a break and come right back.
We appreciate your faithful support of this program. To give a tax-deductible gift of support or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be right back with New Life Live after this.
Hi, Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich. We want to talk to you about our Intimacy Intensive for Marriages.
The Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Orange County, California, February 17th to the 19th.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together. We believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy levels of their life.
One of the things that we're going to do in this weekend is address the issues of sexuality, emotional intimacy, physical touch, things that the church traditionally does not address. We're going to be a place where you can come and really bring the real you, your real marriage, and it can be a very safe place.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
You come join us. We would love to have you there. I think we can meet some needs for you. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud. We were just talking about the phenomena of purpose-driven life. You know, Rick Warren's been on the program before. They've sold 18 million copies. If you have not read it, you are the only listener who hasn't. They sold 1.5 million books last month. And between the purpose-driven life by Rick Warren and the passion... And I tell you, you got to go. You know, Rick, Henry, I didn't talk to you since I saw The Passion, but I'd heard so much about it. I was predisposed to really not be moved by it. And you know, people had the guy was my therapist even told me the ending. I had anger.
Hadn't you read the book?
Yeah, but I mean, just how the movie ended. I was the last one to leave the theater. I cried through that thing. I mean that. If anybody, there is no argument good enough to not see that movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just was blown away, and I know you were too.
Actually, I have not seen it yet.
Oh, I know you will be.
I will be.
That's right. You were gonna go see it.
I was gonna go see it.
Yeah. Okay. Got
some things happened, and I didn't go, and I'm gonna go. But what's interesting to me is that just like the gospel itself, the movie is kind of a Rorschach, you know.
Yeah,
it Paul tells us that the gospel, the cross, is to those who are being saved, that it is the most wonderful thing, and that it has the opposite effect on those who are perishing. Mm-hmm. And what you do is, you know, the cross always kind of like, it's going to reveal where somebody is. And people that get angry at this, there's something else going on inside. And then other people fall down and weep and give their lives to Jesus. So,
it's really truly, the word crossroad, I mean, you are truly at one when the cross is before you. Mm-hmm. You make a decision.
All right, let's go to Linda in Westchester, Pennsylvania. WBYN is the station. Hey, Linda, welcome to New Life.
Thank you, Lord. I was just praying, please let it be me.
Okay. Well, Linda, we've been calling you for months now. It's about time you answered.
You know, it's so funny because every time I come home, come back to my office from seeing my therapist, I listen to you guys. So I get my therapist, and then I listen to you, and I just need help. It's really since December the 27th of 2002, my eyes were opened to my husband with his computer problems in writing to other women on eBay. And I was taking care of my father at the time, and he said he didn't have a wife, so he needed someone to talk to. And I just kind of went off the deep end. And he says, you know, you've been wacko all your life, but now you're really wacko. And so when I went for an exam...
What do you mean you went off the deep end?
The betrayal, I felt like a knife in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I was so betrayed. And so when I went for a doctor's appointment, I was having frozen shoulders, you know, from work, and a lot of stress and things from losing a father and another gentleman. I just had taken care of him as a caretaker, and he had had a bad stroke. It's just one thing after another. Mm. So they put me on Lexapro, and Lexapro I was having a hard time with. Then I was obsessing about him with this other woman. And
had he actually met the woman he was communicating with?
She's in New Mexico.
Had he
met
her?
But it was all because of computer.
Has he talked to her on the phone?
I don't think so. It was all the email back and forth. It started out with their commonality of computers.
And he's still doing it?
No, he said it stopped.
Okay.
But then he talks to he emails other women at where he works, and he has seen them through the day, and I keep saying, why do you have to email them when you see them during the day? And he says, you know, they're friends.
Okay, so how can we help you?
Well, my thing is mumbling. I keep mumbling. I'm on Effexor XR right now. But it's still, I guess it makes me agitated.
Mumbling, what do you mean? As a metaphor, or you literally mumble?
Maybe it's I'm trying to get my feelings vented, but I can't, like my counselor says, I have to learn to confront him and directly speak
so,
to him.
So you have not confronted him directly?
I have problems with it because I've been in an abusive situation for 30-some years.
What do you mean by abusive? What's he doing?
Mental, verbal.
I don't know what that means.
He would just put me down constantly.
So he criticizes you?
All the time.
Okay.
That I couldn't really talk back to him because he didn't want to listen to what I would have to say anyway. It didn't matter to him. And he
Well, is that the reason, or you couldn't talk back to him because you're afraid?
The fear is another thing.
Because Linda, what I hear you saying, you know, over and over are a lot of things that attribute a lot of power to him.
Yes.
When you say something like, I couldn't talk back to him because he wouldn't listen.
It's a father-child situation.
Well, but see, the only thing that takes... there's only one way to reverse a father-child situation is for the child to grow up.
Yeah.
Fathers don't change.
I know.
Okay?
That's what everybody tells me. I'm not going to change him.
No, you're not going to change him, but you can take the power back that you've given him. That's the natural progression that God has ordained for every human being, is to grow up and be equal to other adults.
And I always thought that I had to be a submissive wife and not say anything.
Well, submissive doesn't mean non-person, and it doesn't mean quiet, and it doesn't mean, you know... Doesn't mean any of the ways that you're interpreting.
Doesn't mean
it.
Doormat.
No, the Bible calls all of us to speak the truth in love to each other.
Right.
It doesn't have a little footnote that says unless you're a wife.
Right.
And so I think that probably what you should do is talk to your counselor about this. But in addition to your individual counseling, I think that the two of you should be going to someone. And then there's somebody there to help you to begin to say what you need to say.
I did ask him, and he said that he's not the problem. I am.
Well, I'm
the one that has a problem with this, not him. He doesn't. Those are just friends.
So what? And so what? Fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree, okay? Obviously, you, honey, don't think that there's a problem and you're fine with it, but I'm not. I do have a problem with our marriage.
Yeah.
And I do have a problem with where it is, and I want you to go in with me, and if you don't go, then I'll go to marriage counseling by myself, but I'll go find out what I need to do to make this different, because I want us to have a better relationship than we do. And then don't argue.
Hmm. Very, very tough. Well, let me send you a couple of things. Let's send you Changes That Heal.
That'll help you with some of that fear.
Yeah.
And then we'll send you a copy of Boundaries in Marriage. And there's a section in there called Boundaries with the Resistant Spouse. And it'll tell you exactly the steps of how to deal with somebody who's, quote, not listening. Because that's, you know, if you don't have a strategy, that's sort of a tough game mm-hmm. to play.
It sure is.
Because it's always the one, you know, sort of the power figure, the spouse that, quote, doesn't have the need, that has all the power. But that's 90% of the time. It's a bluff. And the bluff right. has never been called.
And this, the mumbling thing, it really does show there's a lot of emotion and just below the surface there that's trying to get out, but doesn't feel like it's a safe place where those kind of feelings can be expressed. Okay, Linda, hold on. We'll send those to you. Boundaries in Marriage and Changes That Heal. Anybody else interested? 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's go to Kate from Cincinnati, WAKW. Hi, Kate.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I need to ask a question about depression.
Okay.
I have what's called chronic depression. And I have taken numerous antidepressants, and none of them have seemed to work. And about 12 years ago, I got very depressed. And I went to counseling, and I went into a women's group, and I got better. And, of course, we moved. And now where we live now, I've been in counseling for 7 years. And the medicine doesn't work. And I don't know what to do anymore.
Okay. All right. Well, I've got to go to a break. And when we come back, we'll give you some help, okay?
Okay.
And Kay, while we're on the break, I want you to try to think about what was it in that group that seemed to help that's missing from whatever you're trying now. We'll talk about that.
Okay. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help, 1-800-229-3000 if you want to join us on the program. We'll tape another show after this one so you can still be part of New Life Live. We'll be back.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, "Hey, honey, watch this with me." And they'll sit down and they'll watch that 5-minute clip. And that 5-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribe to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem, and it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud, and we're talking to Kate, who is depressed, and before she moved, she'd been depressed for 7 years, but before she moved, she was in a group with some women that seemed to help, along with the medication. And Kate, Henry wanted to know what it was in that group that had or seemed to be so helpful to you.
They just let me know that the things that I said or thought were okay. But
What, Kate? Is that kind of the main component of the depression? You think painful thoughts?
Probably. Like, I don't fit in. I'm not accepted, that kind of thing.
And you say that sort of to yourself all day long? You have a running dialogue inside about that?
Sometimes. You know, like, it just seems like you always think things will get better, but they don't. They just get worse.
What do you mean? Which things?
All things. Just all things, you know, you think it'll be better for your kids at school, and it's not. You think, tomorrow will be a better day. It's not.
Hmm. Do you feel like that you're kind of actively involved in the process of making those things better, or does it feel kind of powerless to you?
I'm a very active person, and I do a lot of things, but I don't feel like... I don't feel like I'm in control at all.
Of
not
what?
At all.
Of what?
Of anything.
Kate, you're going to have to help me with that, because I don't know what that means. In control of anything. I'm going to point out some stuff to you here, okay?
Okay.
Because it'd be good to talk to your therapist about, and I also want to know if you're talking to your therapist about this, because When you have a feeling of not being in control of anything, and that nothing gets better, and that no matter what happens, it all is going to continue to get worse. Those sort of feelings, like it's what psychologists call dichotomous thinking, and it's a chief component, research has shown, in depression.
Yeah.
That global sort of, nothing, always, never. And my hunch is, if we began to look at Kate and saw what Kate does have control over, we would begin to discover some things that you do have control over that you don't feel like you have control over.
I know I have control over things, but I don't feel like I ever get a grasp on things before something else happens. And so it's kind of like I'm playing catch up.
Okay, things in your life, in your relationships,
yes.
What? Give me some
in relationships,
examples.
In activities, and in just in everyday situations.
Can you be specific for me?
My son has problems with a teacher in school, severe problems with teachers in school. So we finally get that resolved, I think, and then she comes up and changes all of his grades again. So it's kind of like, we thought this was over, we thought this had been taken care of, but here it is, the second round, and then the third round.
And is it those kinds of things that get you depressed?
Yes.
Okay, now let me ask you a really hard question here.
Okay.
What do you think that you feel and think when that happens?
anger.
That's, hold on. That's different than when somebody, you know, who's not depressed has a problem they've worked hard on that comes unglued, and we thought we had it fixed, and now it's not fixed. What happens inside of you, do you think, that's different than other people who go through that?
You know what? I don't know. I don't understand how people can handle these kind of things happening to them and not just get totally furious. It seems to me that it's injustice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some people just accept it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's something I can't change.
Right.
They're just going to punish my child for this, and they're just going to have to take it even though it isn't fair and just walk away from it.
Well, I don't know if they go to that extreme either, Kate. I think that there's probably a lot of middle ground in there where any of us, we always do what we can. And sort of like the Serenity Prayer, we change everything possible, and then what we can't change, we leave to God. But what I hear, and what I would suggest you go talk to your therapist about, what are you and your therapist talking about? You've been there for 7 years?
I've been there yes, and she has finally come to the point where she said that the drugs have not helped me.
Right, but what are you doing in counseling that's helping you understand why you're depressed and what to do about it?
I don't know.
Well,
we talk about all these events that take place, and she will say to me, you have had some really bad things happen.
Yeah, it sounds like.
And you know, we talk about the good things and the bad things and things that
But what do you go away from there with an understanding of, okay, now I know why I'm depressed, what I need to do differently, and how to fix this?
I don't know what I need to do differently, okay. And I don't know how to fix it, and then doesn't tell me.
Well, then I would talk to her about that, and I would also probably, after that long, if you're feeling that stuck, I would look at getting another opinion. It's very common to go get a consultation about your therapy and what's going on there, as well as I would get integrated into a good group somewhere, because you know that's been helpful to you. I talked to the therapist about that. And also, okay, we're running out of time, but I want you to talk to somebody off the air, because sometimes when somebody's depressed for that long, they can even become suicidal. And if you are having feelings like that, we want you to make sure you're talking to your therapist or doing something about that as well. So
okay.
I would say this, though, Kate. If you have found relief from dynamic things like a group and being accepted and stuff like that, then that just shows how curable depression is. And when you get the right menu in there, and that's why you probably need some more help.
All right, I'm glad you called. Hold on, and I'm going to send you God Will Make a Way. It is John and Henry's book. And before we go, I'll ask all those to pray for Kate and the other people that have called the program today. If you need some free tips, 7 steps to loving and being loved are available. Our resource moments for singles and those that support the ministry. We send you What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. And this is a great book. It's a great gift book, too. Really, when you end up in a situation where you're frustrated and you really don't know what is the next thing to do, here's a great book for you. And we send that to you when you support the ministry. We are a listener-supported ministry, and we depend on your support. And we're so grateful that we added these 10 new stations, and we did that because of you. And many times, you know, we're the only counseling that some people will hear. Also, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. Call us if you can support us. We'll send you What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. We love you. We care about you. We always enjoy being with you. We don't want you to stay stuck in whatever you're stuck in. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll see you here again tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life.
We want you to know that we're here for you, but we also need you to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. That means we depend on your gifts to stay on the air, which is why your financial help is so important. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again next time for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.